Hey, we're back on Downtown. Time for us to talk Celtics. The NBA Eastern Conference Finals getting underway. We check in with John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Well, here we are, John, just where we thought we'd be.
Absolutely. Conference Finals. We said that from the beginning, right? Heck of a run for the Celtics. I did anticipate them getting past the Milwaukee Bucks. I think that was a great series, but without Chris Middleton, I thought that was the better team won. And now here we are against the top seed. This is how it's supposed to go. Number one versus number two.
Well, that game seven was one for the ages on Sunday. Grant Williams, Peyton Pritchard, unbelievable performance from them. But to me, what stood out was the unselfishness of Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I mean, he's done such a great job of setting up his teammates. I mean, that's been the biggest change in his game since this big turnaround back in January. He's really bought into the concept of, hey, if they want a W, then go ahead, get off the ball and find your teammates. Find a way to draw two, draw three. Don't play in that crowd. Draw that crowd and then give your teammates the opportunity to play against, you know, 4-on-3, 4-on-2, however it needs to go. And then make them pay for that decision. Say, if they dare somebody else to beat you, then let that person beat them. And I think Tatum's development as a playmaker is really one of the things that's made him one of the top players in the game now.
And what's great about this team is the unselfishness, but the fact that everybody seems to know what their role is.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you're all bought in, right? When everybody is a star in their role, you heard guys talking about that. There are stars and there are stars in their roles. If people play within themselves, and that's Grant Williams doing what he does, shoot the ball. Don't go too crazy. Don't be, you know, driving into a crowd and trying to do too much. Anybody that tries to do too much, you're actually hurting the team. So do what you do, know what you do well, stick with that, and trust that everybody's going to do their job. Very Bill Belichick. Do your job. Don't do somebody else's job. Do yours. And the Celtics have really, I mean, it's been such a progression all along, and they've gotten to this point. It continues to be impressive.
And finally, some people have come around, even those who were screaming for his head back early in the season. Most have come around on Ime Udoka, but still not the love, I think, that Brad Stevens deserves for putting this roster together.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's start with Ime. It's a cautionary tale, right? You don't you just got to let the whole thing play out, right? And people who are screaming for his head early on, I mean, I can just tell you anecdotally, they've all disappeared from my Twitter mentions. You know what I mean? Mm. Like that's the people, the haters, and just like the Marcus Smart haters, they tend to go away when he's playing well. And yeah, Brad Stevens deserves some credit too. Hell, you know, Danny Ainge deserves credit for some of these guys that are panning out that were supposed to be busts. And, you know, Grant Williams and Pritchard in particular. So, but you know, the moves that Brad Stevens made midseason to not only bring in Derek White, you get rid of Dennis Schroeder and Josh Richardson. And those moves, the addition by subtraction, the ball stoppers, you know, you bring back Tice, who has been really, really helpful in getting past these Robert Williams injury minutes. I think it's kind of surprising that Brad Stevens didn't get more love for executive of the year. He finished way down in the voting, like barely got any attention. But he made two great trades. And Al Horford. I almost forgot the Al Horford.
Yeah.
You know, got Al Horford in here, got Derek White in here, got Daniel Tyson here, moved some dead weight, hired Ime Udoka. I mean, what more do you want the guy to do?
You mentioned Dennis Schroeder. I went, that was this season. Oh, well, right. That seemed like 2 years ago.
That's right. You remember Dennis Schroeder walking the ball up, the ball rolling up the floor while the defense was getting set? Like, that happened. That was part of this season.
That's hard to believe, but it really has been a tale of two seasons.
Put that horrible memory in your head. I feel like I've derailed the entire interview.
No.
Mentioning Dennis Schroeder, which is appropriate because he derailed the entire offense.
Well, now they get ready for Miami, and certainly this is going to be a great battle. Miami's an awfully good team, the best team, I think, that they've played so far in the postseason, but the Celtics team doesn't seem to have a lot of weaknesses right now. What's going to be the key? Let's start with the defense. What do they need to focus on there?
Well, I think this is kind of going to be like a mini Milwaukee defense. You're building a wall trying to keep a player from getting to the rim. It was Giannis, and now it's going to be Jimmy Butler, who really loves to get to the rim and get free throws. You kind of wall him off, and that's part one. You almost have to do kind of a similar walling off of Bam Adebayo. They want to drive. They want to set pick and roll. They'll pick and roll you to death. They want to get to the rim. And then when you got all that attention at the rim, they want to kick it out to their shooters. Couple of swings, wide open, Tyler Hero, wide open, Max Strus. So if they can build a wall, so to speak, and help but not double, kind of single cover, stay home on the shooters, and force Jimmy Butler to take and make jumpers all series long, I think that's going to be the way to go.
Offensively, it's been a clinic in ball movement during the postseason for them. Is that the key going forward?
I mean, that's going to be the key for them the whole way through. So if they make it past this series, it's going to be the key for them in the finals. But they will have some matchups that they can hunt. You know, Tyler Hero is going to be somebody that they hunt. Gabe Vincent, because there's no Kyle Lowry tonight, he's going to be a guy that they hunt. Max Strus. The thing is, they just can't be too stagnant in trying to hunt those mismatches. They've got to punish Miami for having those guys on the floor. But Miami's not just going to sit there and do the same thing. Miami's going to throw a ton of different looks at Tatum and at Brown. What they have to do is be aware of what the defense is. Did they switch? Are they switching? Are they in drop coverage? Are they in a zone? What kind of zone? So they're going to have to be very, very aware of what Miami's doing, because Eric Spoelstra does not care. He will throw anything at the wall until he finds something that sticks. And that's what makes them such a good defense, because they're all willing to do that in Miami. So I think offensively, keep moving. Don't get too caught up in matchup hunting. Try, go for it, but also don't get stagnant.
They were able to accomplish a lot of this without Robert Williams. What's his status?
He's available, but I'll be honest, man. I kind of don't know what's going on with him right now. He's available and no limitations, and he feels good. Are they ready to start the series with him? Is he going to start? Is he going to come off the bench? I'm not sure what Ime's thinking, to be honest with you, and we'll figure it out. You know, he's going to speak in about 2.5 hours, and he'll give us at least a little bit of a hint or a heads up or tell us directly. But, I would expect him to play and be a factor, because he was such a big part of Boston getting to this point. And if he's healthy and fully available and ready to go, I think he'll be an important part. Now, whether he starts or comes off the bench, they'll figure out a way to use him. And maybe this is an opportunity to just mix things up and have a floor spacer in there with Grant to start. And you bring Rob in as a change of pace guy and go with that. But he's available. That's the best I can tell you.
Home court certainly helped being at the Garden for a game 7. How big is it in this series?
I mean, I think it is a big deal. I mean, home court is important, and I think the Celtics can steal one of these two games here to get home court back. But if they can't, then it'll be tough for them to do it later in the series. It's just being at home, having that crowd, being juiced up. I think the 8:30 or 8:45 starts is what it really is. It's going to be 8:45 tip. That's going to allow you talk about the late arriving Heat crowd. But they typically start Heat games around 7, so I think the crowd will be there in full force, and I think that's going to help the Heat. They feed off the crowd, so the Celtics are going to have to steal one of these first two games and get that home court back, and I think they can do it, and I think they can win it in 6.
I don't think it's unconnected, I guess is the word, to the Celtics' success. It's this, John. That beard of yours is looking phenomenal.
It's a little unruly right now. As it gets longer, it's got that Greek sponginess, curliness to it. Very Greek fisherman, not going to lie. Great winter look. We'll see if it survives this 85-degree heat down here in Miami, though.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun these next several nights. John, we appreciate you, as always, making time for us. Have a ball tonight, and we'll check in with you again next week.
All right, Rich. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, the Locked On Celtics podcast. He's the guy to turn to when you want Celtics information, the best there is at covering the seas as they open the Eastern Conference Finals tonight.